Good.
All right, everyone, welcome, welcome. It is time for another Toolbox Tuesday.
Yeah, so kind of continuation on the goals and how we manage them and mark them and hit them.
So if you have not been with us for Toolbox Tuesday before, every Tuesday in our practices, we pick one of the tools in our hundreds of resources that we have available in our asset arsenal. And we have been doing a series on target tracking and how we set goals for our providers and for our team. So the last couple of weeks, we did an interview with Sten talking about how he saw the need for us really being able to hone in on these goals. And then last week, we talked about really looking at some of our expenses and then having our doctors and team behind their why outside of just the numbers. So this week, we're going to really focus in on our doctor scorecard that is part of our doctor development program and how we came up with these metrics to make sure that our doctors know exactly what they need to do on a daily and hourly basis to reach their goals.
Yeah, and I think that's the most important part because looking at, like we talked about, I think last week was, hitting a big number, $1 million, 1.5, whatever it is for your, if you're a doctor, it sounds audacious. It sounds big. It sounds scary sometimes, but breaking that down and even adding in things like taking days off, taking vacations, and where are we going to be with kind of different clinical additions that we're going to do, whether it's IV sedation, whether it's wisdom teeth surgery, implants, whatever it is, when you start to kind of map those things out throughout the whole year, it really breaks it down into bite-sized pieces that can be very, very attainable. And if people start to see it, you can see these light bulbs coming on for people very, very quickly when we start to break it down.
So we gave a preview of this last week when we started talking about our doctor scorecards. So we developed this for all of the providers in our practices, and it starts with their annual goals. We talked about our quarterly focus workshops where we set the goal for them for the next year, and then we break that down on a daily basis. So this starts with what is their annual goal? What does that extrapolate out to with what they need from a production standpoint per day? And then how many clinical days are they working for the year? Now, work-life balance is something that is very important to us. It's something that is one of our core values. We want to make sure that our doctors are taking time off throughout the course of the year. One of our philosophies is you come back from vacation and you plan your next one. It might be a staycation. It might be you're just staying in your jammies all day long, but just always having something to look forward to ahead on the books. But we want to make sure that that is having minimal, if no impact to their production. This is all part of our strategy to ensure that they have their production goals met and above that before they go on vacation and then when they come back from vacation. Now, the flip side of this is also if someone has a huge day, we talked about this last week, hey, they might have a $2,000 per hour day or week. That's fantastic. That's just 1 week. You can't have 1 week and then say, I'm going to be out on 22 weeks of vacation, which is a true story that we had from an associate in the past who had lots of travel plans and had a great week, but then was coming to us asking why he was not on track to his annual goals when he's just having a great outlier week here and there and nothing in between.
Yeah. And I think, having the vacations, I think is so much important in building those into your averages. It creates an honest picture of what your associates or what you actually need to produce, right? And we've heard a lot of consultants and coaches, things like that, who will only calculate working days or only calculate working weeks or whatever it is. And I think that takes away from it because, we're on collection basis, so our doctors are being paid on collection. So they're still getting a paycheck even when they're on vacation, when things are kind of coming in, right? And it just creates this little owner's mentality about how this actually works, how they actually get money, and it really creates a clear vision of what they need to do for the rest of the year. Because if we're not sure about how many vacation days, for example, we're taking towards the end of the year, most of the time we are, but if we're not, it's very hard to track or very hard to work backwards to see what we need to do to hit our goals. And so that it becomes a little bit confusing in that way. And so we want crystal clear, honest ways to track our performance. And the second thing about that vacations is we need to always be looking forward to something. Always. And just put it on the schedule. You can always move it, 3 months out or something like that if you need to, but just put something on the schedule. And I really encourage people. Our family, we book our vacations out 18 months, sometimes 24 months in advance. Yes, things move around all the time, but if it's not on the schedule, it doesn't usually happen, or we're scrambling to kind of find out why things haven't happened. So it's really important. I think there's a lot of research behind this and having something on the schedule, but it's really, really important for our mindset, for just our happiness at work and happiness at life, and the way we can kind of motivate ourselves. Because there's little, what you can build in is a little bit of basically sprints throughout your year, right? And then they might be 4 week sprints, they might be 5 week sprints, but whatever, they're sprints. And even if it's just a day or two, taking a Friday off, taking a Monday off, whatever it is, and building in a 3 day weekend here and there, I think goes a long way.
And then we want them to see where they're trending. You know, again, this gets back to you can't have just one great week and this is what it's going to be for the rest of the year. Or conversely, if you have a bad week, that you're just kissing everything goodbye. You know, we talked about that last week also. If someone isn't hitting their goal, well, we're not changing the goal every other week just so
Right.
that you can hit a number, pick a number that you can comfortably obtain so that you can win the game. That's not it. It's the larger picture. What is your why of why you are doing this? So, what is your gross salary goal? We don't get into what is your tax bracket and what are you saving, what's what just gross salary. Even with doctors, friends, we've had to have the conversation that that's not what I take home in my paycheck. Yes, you live in America and you have to pay taxes. That does happen. I'm not getting into what your individual tax bracket is. What is your gross salary goal? What is your projected salary right now based off of your 13-week average? We talk a lot about averages so we don't get lost in the good week and the bad week. On a quarterly basis, what is your current average? What are you trending towards for your salary goal? We have an equity program in our business for our doctors when they meet thresholds. So we project that out for them along with CE benefits that they also earn after thresholds. So we have those on these scorecards as well.
Yeah, it's really important, I think, for them to see their weekly, their yearly, and their 13 week. And I think those three numbers really, really tied together. Because what we've seen a few times is people say, I've actually produced a lot more last year. And that motivates people a little bit too sometimes, right? And so when people start to see also what Jennifer's talking about, the kind of fits and starts of that one doctor where he was producing a ton on very few weeks a year, that's fine. But when you start to see the average that's averaged out over a 52-week year, you can't hide from that. It's really, really clear. And it's really, really important for these doctors to see, and all of us doctors to see this on a weekly basis to know exactly where we stand.
And this gets into treatment planning, which is actually the next series that we're going to be doing after we complete this one on target tracking, is an entire exam flow and how we do our exam analysis and the treatment presentation. So treatment planning numbers, sometimes this is a hot take because you can have doctors who throw in a ton of treatment, a treatment plan for a patient to boost up their numbers, right? Again, doctors like a game. If you notice on our scorecard here, there's a green and there's a red color on there. If you hit goal, it's green. If you're under goal, it's red. Numbers are black and white or green and red, as it will be in this scorecard situation. So we've had those where, hey, I treatment plan $200,000 this week. That's fantastic. Did you present all $200,000 of that treatment? Because in our practices, if you didn't present it, that doesn't count from a treatment planning standpoint. Now, there are larger cases. There are locator cases. There are All-on-X cases. Many times those cases do not schedule the same day. People have to figure out financing or talk with family members. There's a little bit more involved. We've had recent conversations about this where, well, that case should not be counted in my treatment planning numbers. Okay. So does that mean when that case schedules that also is not going to be counted in your production numbers? Because it has to go in both directions if we're going to start massaging the numbers to make them look different than is what actual reality.
Yeah, and I think that's important because when we have Jennifer, we have operational numbers we look at. We look at scorecards and marketing scorecards, financial scorecards, operational scorecards, all the different things. And we know that each one of those numbers is a knob we can tweak, right? If we do this to that number, if we work hard to change that number, it'll have a downstream effect in a certain other ways. And if we change another number, it's going to affect these few numbers, things like that. As an associate doctor or a doctor that's just looking at their clinical production, you really only have a handful of knobs to turn. And they really are your exams, your treatment planning, and your scheduling, right? And then how fast you can actually turn and burn. How fast can you actually do the dentistry? Can we shorten up? Can we do more within an hour, right? We're not talking about, being irresponsible with it, but if you're to the point, if you're prepping one crown every 2 hours, you should maybe think about getting better. I'm just gonna say it, right? That's not good. You need to be able to be good enough dentist to be able to prep at least one or two crowns, sometimes three in an hour, period. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, and do a damn good job at it. It needs to be a perfect crown, perfect scan, perfect impression, whatever it is, perfect temp. I'm not talking about doing a chop, chop job. So if they can turn a few of these knobs and their efficiencies in their scheduling and their treatment planning, we know how, that's another way we can actually work backwards on how to get them to their goal. For example, if they're scheduling at 50%, 60%, we know what they need to treatment plan, or and which translates into how many exams they might need in order to get that number to make them. And we calculate all this out for our doctors.
And case acceptance, I know, is another one of those hot take topics because everyone calculates it a little bit differently. And we, again, have had these conversations with our doctors where in their minds, if they present a $20,000 treatment plan and that patient schedules for a single filling, they look at that as an accepted case. Yes, they accepted the filling on your treatment plan. That's a false positive if you're looking at that as a fully accepted case to make yourself feel warm and fuzzy at night. Right. If you diagnosed five crowns on that case and that patient is not believing that they need those crowns or is not working towards priority for those crowns, we need to look at ourselves in the mirror first. Did we show, not tell? Did we do our intraoral photos? Do we do all the things that are part of our exam flow so that that patient is confident in the treatment plan that you're recommending for them? If they're only scheduling one filling and going elsewhere for a second opinion, that's a problem we need to fix internally first and not just say that that's a fully accepted case.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point to make, because I think a lot of consultants, coaches, things like that, they're calculating the acceptance number on a pass fail. And we're not, we're calculating on a dollar amount, right? So like Jennifer said, if you treatment plan five crowns and they only schedule one, that's what was accepted, that's what's scheduled, and everything else on treatment plan. And that's another way that we really look at the honest numbers. Numbers don't lie. We're not looking at a pass fail. We're looking at what the dollar amount that they actually did schedule.
And this gets into, in air quotes, if you're just listening to this, into the optional treatment plans also. What truly is an optional treatment plan, right? Is it a relapsed ortho case that, yeah, they're fine and, you know, they have 27 that's kicked out, that bothers them from a cosmetic standpoint? Okay, that might be an optional treatment plan. But if you're recommending wall-to-wall crowns on someone because they want a full smile makeover and there's absolutely nothing else that's needed from a treatment standpoint, you have to question if that's really a treatment plan that you feel comfortable about going forward with, right? There's usually something else that's going on, or there's other restorations that are being replaced. There's usually something more that's happening there. So a lot of times those quote unquote optional treatment plans can also just be kicked out of, like, well, but those don't matter. Or we're not going to follow up with those. In our practices, we call these seed planting. Yeah, these might be, if a patient is asking about some of these treatment plans, again, it might be, hey, I'm going to plan for veneers when my kids are out of college in a couple of years. I just want to know what I'm looking at so I can have my finances in order. Fantastic. That can be a nurturing campaign. And we've seen that, especially this summer. We were just talking to our doctors about that. You never know when some of those patients are going to come back. And we have a constant train with our follow-ups going on so that we're always reaching out to those people. We've had plenty of patients who have said they're going to go out of country to have treatment done. Fine, we're going to put you on the list. We'll follow up with you in a couple of weeks and see how that's going. 9 times out of 10, those patients end up circling back around. We're not just throwing those patients away and saying, well, they're not coming for treatment here, so we're never going to contact them again. No, you never know when that's going to turn into scheduling.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we also need to remind our doctors and our associate doctors mainly, and all, and myself too included, is the goal is not to get a high acceptance, or the goal is not to treatment plan a lot of cases. The goal is to do a lot of dentistry, right? And for your patients, right? Do the dentistry that they need, the dentistry that you believe that they need to do, and help them move forward with it, right? And we get, sometimes our doctors kind of trapped in this gamification mindset where, well, I didn't really hit my production number, but God, look at how much I treatment plan. It's like, well, that's not really the goal. The goal is to get accurate numbers. And so if we're just trying to throw things, like Jennifer said, against the wall and seeing what sticks, we're going to have to lower that percentage, your acceptance is gonna lower, and that means you're gonna have to treat plan even more. And so we're really looking at kind of tightening up those numbers. You know, different procedure mixes are gonna have different acceptance rates, different scheduling rates, things like that that we have to take into account with some of our providers. So, you know, and we've seen a definitely there's a few things that we've seen time and time again that really have an inflection point in a positive way for doctors with scheduling as far as procedure mixes, things like that. And we start to look at that, it really does create a clear picture.
And that's why we also look at scheduled per exam. And we look at our exam numbers, we distill them down, break them apart, make sure that our exams are as even as possible across the board. Our block scheduling is designed so that we have new patient availability. Now we'll move heaven and earth to get a new patient, and don't get me wrong, but we want those to be as even as possible. Part of the re-education process with our doctors have also been to not just discard a periodic exam for an existing patient as a throwaway exam.
Right.
New patients break teeth all the time. Now, are our new pa our existing patients healthy? Yes, we've been able to have a lot of our existing patients work through their treatment plans and they're healthy. They still need treatment just as much as new patients do, or they are working through treatment plans just as much as new patients do. Yes, you need the engine of new patients to keep that treatment flow going, but that's not the end all be all. So I've also had, the comment made, well, I should only be looking at the scheduling for new patient exams. So again, does that mean that you're not going to count the production for your existing patients? It all goes into the mix. And there's plenty of opportunities with existing patients or emergency visits to do same day treatment. These are patients we already have rapport with. Let's get it done. Again, capitalizing on the opportunities that you have.
Yeah. And I think looking at this, we look at this on a week by week basis. I think day by day is too much. We want them to pay attention to it day by day, but on their own. And I think looking at these scorecards over on a week to week basis, because th there are ups and downs throughout the week, right? You can have schedule, you can have cases kind of go away, you can have cases adding, you have same day treatment, all these different things kind of mix in. And you want to look at this on a week to week basis. But the other thing that does that I think is really important is it gives more consistent feedback. And the quicker we can get feedback on how we're doing, the faster we're going to progress. It's just it's that's why people have coaches. That's why people have, you know, trainers. That's why people ask for feedback, and we do one-on-ones with team, things like that. The more constructive, supportive feedback we can get, the faster we're going to progress. And there's nothing more constructive. There's nothing clearer than numbers. I mean, numbers do not lie. This is black and white. This is that our doctors know exactly the reports these are coming from. They're just compiled all in one place, and there's no fogginess around it. It is crystal clear where these are coming from and how we calculate these.
Well, and especially if you're comparing it to, as I mentioned, the averages or even the averages with each other sometimes, yes, I joke about, there's a day for everything. There's milk chocolate day, right? There's always going to be holidays or school is starting. There can be an excuse for everything under the sun. Arguably, some of those holiday weeks have been some of the most productive for us because we stay open, right? We're not open on the federal holidays, but we stay open the week of Thanksgiving. We don't just shut down shop, and there's a lot of practices around that don't stay open during that week, so we can help with emergency visits, right? There's always the counterbalance to what's going on, but we don't allow our doctors to just get in that cycle of, well, it was just a bad week, or it was just right after a holiday. We want them to look at what does this look like consistently, and hey, if you traditionally have been here and now all of a sudden something's falling down, what's going on with that? Or hey, the other doctors in the practice are here, you're falling off a little bit, what's going on with that? At this point, our forecasting is accurate to a half a percent. Sten and I look at these operationally to forecast out what our production is on track for the year, for the next quarter, for the next month, based off of where our doctor's current performance is. And it's been within $10,000 month over month for the last year. If we have an expense that is off half a percent, a performance that's off half a percent, we're talking about it. And I'm not exaggerating about that. It's like, hey, what is happening here? We want to be proactive if we're starting to see a trend in the wrong direction and not be reactive to it. And the opposite side, if we're staying a trend in a positive direction, okay, what's changing with this doctor that we can help transfer to the other doctors to help them have the same trend in an improvement in production?
Right. Or what can we nurture? What can we elaborate on that we can bring to the rest of the group? Yeah.
Yeah, we mentioned it the last couple of weeks, but controlling the controllables.
Right.
We talk about this with our team also. We are going to control everything that we can control like a mother. Okay, as much as we can control. You can't control your first patient in the morning that woke up and has COVID. That's out of your control. But hey, do you have a new patient exam coming in a half an hour you can offer same day treatment to? Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, sure can. Can you move your appointments up? Not you, your team, but can your team move your appointments up from the afternoon to give you more time to fill the schedule? Yep, sure can. And this is where having the team engagement in this and making sure that we are all rowing in the same direction is so incredibly valuable to have their support. This ties back to our whys and having your team why, which is what we will be discussing next week, so that it is not just a number that you're throwing out there, right? They need to understand the why for themselves personally to get behind the cause as well.
Absolutely.
So join us for next week. It will be part four of this series. In the meantime, if you would like to connect with us, our email is connect@pathwaydentalsolutions.com. Our website is pathwaydentalsolutions.com, and we're also available on all of the social platforms. So please feel free to reach out. We build out these custom scorecards for our private clients for you or for the doctors in your practice to make sure that everyone is on the same page and is achieving and exceeding their production goals. So we will be back next week to talk about team engagement with this.
All right, you guys. Take care.
See you guys
Bye.
then. Bye.